Welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grovecast needs your support, so please head over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast to find out what cool stuff you get for as little as 17 cents a day. Yes, only 17 cents a day gets you some amazing stuff. Thank you so much for your support. Today, I have actress, author, and motivational speaker, Wendy Lu Lee. We know her best. We know her and her sister Brenda best because they played the role of Baby Gray Singles from 1978 until 1982. Retiring from acting to attend kindergarten, Wendy is now a motivational speaker. And on August 6th, she will be releasing a prairie devotional inspired by the beloved TV series, which is a very personal book about Wendy's own life and the lessons that she found while rewatching the Little House on the Prairie series. I'm not sure if you went and bought it or you're watching it on Amazon like most of the world is right now. But I would like to welcome back to the show, Wendy Lu Lee. How are you, Wendy?
Oh, so good. Thanks for having me, Mark.
Anytime, seriously. And the book that you are putting out, and again, it's August 6th, so it's right around the corner. Is such a cool book. It's a really kind of, you could just kind of pick it up, flip to a page, like whatever feels good. Cause as a lefty, I tend to read like everything's Hebrew and I start from the back and you can just flip to like 67, you know, number 67. And I just love it. I think it's more of a companion than anything to anybody who really loves the series. Like we do. And, So, all right, so I have a whole bunch of questions. I have a whole bunch of really cool things that I wanted to. First of all, how does it feel right now with the pre-orders kind of going out? You have the reunion in just, what, a week from now or something?
Yeah.
About a week, right? I'm looking at the calendar. And I know that they bought up a bunch of do they actually have the book on hand?
They will for the reunion, yes.
Oh, okay. And, you know, it's just all very exciting. And as somebody, who has been in publishing, I know that it can also be very stressful when you're putting out a book. So I was just kind of wondering what's going through your head right now, having to do with the reunion and the book and everything else that's going on.
Well, I will say is that last night I had three beautiful brown boxes from UPS on my doorstep. And I got to open them up with a whole bunch of books. And that was pretty amazing. Like, is this really happening? Oh, my goodness.
You had that
and
moment.
My husband it was just last night. Like, I can't actually believe that this is happening. Like, I mean, I had one in my hand for, like, the last couple weeks. But there's, like, boxes in my house now. And I'm like, when you open it up and you see book after book after book, and they're all the same. I've never had more than one copy of one book in my house. Like, you know what I mean? So to have like 50 books sitting there going, this is real. I can't believe it. Yeah.
And there's a whole lot more out there. Cooler.
Yes, definitely. So, I will say this is a very busy time. Lots of articles and interviews and things that I have to do that I get to do that I have the opportunity to do to try to launch this book well. So that has been, pretty overwhelming, but really exciting. So
now,
I'm doing great.
It's almost like you had that moment that George McFly had at the end of Back to the Future where he opens up the book. I don't know. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, yeah, I have.
You know, and he picks up the book that just didn't exist in the beginning of the movie. And, you know, I think that's something that I've heard from other authors as well. Like the moment where you get this, the sample box, and it's like, wow, this is like for real. It's like a really wonderful stepping stone. And, you know, I think that's really great that you had that moment. You mentioned your husband, Josh, who... It's interesting because I think by the time you get to the end of this book, you kind of know Josh a little bit. I think you become a little bit of a fan of Josh, I think. And I'm not kidding.
Oh, my poor husband. I tell you, he's been through so much, and I just soccer let it all coach, loose for the whole world, you know.
Because it's a very personal book. And, you know, and clearly, you know, your husband is a tremendous part of your life, so... Every couple of the stories you bring up, like Josh's soccer coach, for instance. That was one of the stories that I really liked. Mm-hmm. And a life lesson that, you know what, you pull out a lot of amazing life lessons. And but before I get into that, I just wanted to ask, what does your sister think of the book, Brenda?
Well, she, you know, when I first had this idea, I told her, Brenda, I think I'm going to write a book. And I think it's going to be about Little House. And I kind of had to ask her permission because I am not just Baby Grace. We both sure. are. And so I can't really take that as my own without her permission. And so I had to basically say, this is what I think I'm going to do. Are you okay with this? And she said, yeah, of course, go for it.
Right.
And she has a lot of stuff going on. They just moved to Wyoming last summer, opening up the new headquarters of the family business. And so her hands are full and Little House isn't really on her radar at the moment. That doesn't mean she doesn't love it and love fans and love going to events, but she's taking a little hiatus to focus on this big project that they're doing. So,
well, that's awesome too. You know,
yes, it's awesome. So she gave me her full blessing and said, go for it, Wendy. And yeah.
That's awesome. I think that's great. And it also shows a lot of respect that you have, not only for the for your sister, of course, but also respect for the role and just kind of like, hey, I don't want to just, you know, steal this away and go run and do it.
Yeah.
Who knows? She have her own. I'm sure, you know, even though people look at twins as being the same people, which is nuts. I'm sure her opinions vary wildly from yours. So it would just be interesting to have the separate, you know, versions.
Well, yeah, you definitely tell from my stories, you get that whole thing where we may look the same, but we are not the same. So
right.
We have different gifts and different personalities that we bring to the world, and we each have a unique message. So
no, a couple weeks ago, you did a live stream with your mom, which I just thought was so, like, you really bring people right into your life. I mean, you really are not shy about it, which I just think it's a treat for Little House fans. But I just think that you also seem to enjoy it a lot, which I just think is great. And your mom is so cool. Like, she just seems like kind of you in a lot of ways. What does she think of the book? Like, does she read through it and she's like, you're misremembering this? Or is she like, wow, you really are, you know, you're a good kid, you know, that type of thing.
Well, my mom, when you get the book, well, you probably read it, but the very end, I thank my mom because I can't tell you how many times I called her on the phone and said, okay, mom, I'm writing about this. How did that happen again? What happened? I mean, she literally made this book vivid with memories. And if it wouldn't have been for her, it would not have been the way it is. And so I'm so grateful for her. My mom and I are very much alike. You could tell from the video.
It seemed like it. It was like, wow,
these
two are going to go hang out after, and it's going to look just like this.
Well, yeah, we are both kind of storytellers. We do not shy from the camera. Like, we're very much come alive when, I guess when somebody, you know, ask us a question or ask us to tell a story or whatever. So I knew she would be totally up for a video, and she was like shining all day, I tell you.
Right.
She loved it. So,
so I guess, you know, I mean, it's kind of a weird question, but, and I think it's almost an obvious question, but the inspiration had to have come from somewhere. Was there a particular episode that you thought about, or maybe somebody gifted the box set to you, or, you know, something like that. Like, where did the entire idea of kind of rewatching and then documenting your own personal opinions and then applying it to life lessons that you've had throughout your entire life?
Okay, well, so I didn't even have the series until after I got married. The first few Christmases, my mother and father-in-law, they would say, "What do you want for Christmas?" And I'd say, "I want season 1, 2, and 3 of Little House on the Prairie." And so one Christmas, they got me season 1, 2, and 3. The next Christmas, they got me 4, 5, and 6. The next Christmas, does that make sense? So
yeah.
I didn't even have them on DVD. And back then, they weren't on everything, you know, airing on all the Amazon Prime and all that. So I've had them for the last 20, I've been married in 20 years this September, and I've started getting them then. And so my husband never watched Little House on the Prairie until
you mean
we were
Josh?
Engaged.
My
Josh
buddy Josh?
Never watched Little House on the Prairie until we were engaged. And so Then all of a sudden, every Christmas, I'm getting all these series, the seasons, and I had been watching them, but I started watching them faithfully when my daughter started kindergarten, because that just felt like the right time to share it with my kids. So we started from season 1 and we went all the way through, and I started realizing, like, I started noticing myself, like, talking like Carolyn Ingalls and like trying to get my kids to like be kind and honest. And all of a sudden, like, we would watch it every Monday night, because when we were growing up, it was on Monday nights at 8 o'clock. And so we kind of said, "Hey, every Monday night, we're going to watch a Little House episode." And so that's kind of how it started.
Mm-hmm.
And one night after watching an episode, we were laying in bed and my husband said, "You know what? You should write a Little House on the Prairie devotional." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, that's an amazing idea." But I'll tell you that I did not think I had what it took to write it. And so I didn't even... It kind of was one of those ideas that just sits in the back of your brain and you think, yeah, maybe one day.
Right. Wouldn't it be cool if?
Wouldn't it be really cool if? Yes. But it wasn't until I was diagnosed with my brain tumor that I started writing. And that's when it started to go, oh my goodness, I could share the stories of my life.
Well, you just, you know, you brought it up. One of the stories in one of the devotionals, I'm going to call them devotionals. Is that correct?
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The first one I read was on page 99, which is, and it starts with a quote. I love the way it's laid out. I've laid out books before, and there's something very comforting about the way it's laid out. And yet, the episode that you're basing this writing about, you're having your own personal title and then a quote, and then your own personal writings. So that's why I really enjoy the book. I love the format. So if somebody has it in front of them and they flip to page 99, it's about the season 3, episode 13, episode Quarantine, which is one of the, you know, as the fans say, one of the quote unquote serious episodes. Mm-hmm. Where Laura gets very ill. And the quote is, "The worst part about being sick, I think, is how sad it makes other people." And you get extremely personal here. It's, and again, this was the first story I flipped to when I got the book.
Really?
And
this is a funny one.
Like, yeah. And I got to admit, like, when I was first reading, I'm like, this seems a little bit like a bummer. And then I got to the second page. I'm like, oh, it's not a bummer at all. But you get so personal and you discuss your own feelings about the healing that you went through after your brain surgery. And what I took personally from this entry is that you became aware of the problems of your healing and that it was causing issues outside of just the healing, but you still had compassion and understanding for our best friend, Josh. And, and I think just having that thought process, I think that helped you heal. Like, it just made me feel like, wow, this is a real selfless person who's in this really sensitive moment, and you know, you're really sharing a lot there. And I immediately I just kind of fell in love with the book. I just thought it was so personal. Was it intended to be this personal?
So when I first started writing before my surgery, a couple days before my surgery, I told myself that if I was going to write anything, that it was going to be real and vulnerable, because that's probably what I had never done before, is actually been able to just like bare my soul. Like, sure. I just was never that confident.
And who can? I mean, it seems like
yeah. the most. And when you have nothing to lose, like you're going into brain surgery, you don't know what's going to happen. You're kind of like free to write whatever you want.
Right.
And I did that like through like a blog and stuff. And I kind of got into the habit of just saying it how it is. And so when I actually started writing the book, I just challenged myself to stay in that same thought process, that same vein wow. of be real. That's what people want to read. And honestly, this book was so therapeutic for me. I started writing it only a year and a half after my surgery. So a year and a half after my surgery, I had a book deal. So it was very therapeutic because I was still going through all of this stuff, especially the brain surgery stories. Like, it was really, really good for me. So,
well, emotionally, I mean, you're still going through, I'm sure. But I mean, this is part of your therapy in a lot of ways, you know, to put it on paper, and to share it with a lot of people who know, who think they know you anyway. But you know,
I say that if you read this book, you know me really well.
Well, I feel like I know Josh
you
really well.
Do. And you know Josh, and you feel for Josh too, don't you?
A little bit. So I just want to say, so the other story that came up when I was going through it was on page 31, and it's you entitled Birthday Wishes, which Jesus, that I'm trying to remember. Oh yeah. It's from season 5, episode 2, As Long As We're Together. Mm-hmm. And as somebody who's, I guess, desensitized to a lot of emotions in movies because my 11-year-old and I watch too many horror movies, it's like we're going through a phase. I couldn't help but get choked up as I was reading this, because you shared so many, this is another one where you're sharing a lot of personal moments. And the quote that you base this off of is, "I don't have anything to wish for. I have everything in the world right there, right here in this room," by okay. Mary Ingalls. You go on to share that you and your sister's 18th birthday, which of course is a milestone for everybody who's ever turned 18. And the guests were instructed to bring 18 items of their choosing. And there were tons of gifts. And the way you were writing this, I don't know if, you just have a knack for this. I think maybe you've learned it from all the Little House on the Prairie episodes that you've been a part of, is that the way you describe getting these very personal and very sentimental gifts from people and sharing what they are, I kind of got that patented Little House on the Prairie lump in my throat that you get at the end of an emotional episode. And I'm saying, at the same time, my son is like, "Hey, watch the new Banana Splits horror movie trailer," or "Stranger Things is coming. Like, we have to watch, you know, the Demigorgon." And, you know, and then I'm reading this and I'm like, wow, it's so personal and honest. And I don't know. It's very unique. And I think that you really have a genuine gift. And I think when somebody reads your book, they really do walk away with this understanding of you in a lot of ways and how personal you are. And I don't know if I could do that. I'm very envious of that. I don't think I could be that personal publicly. I don't know. But then my other favorite story, I'm sorry.
Okay. No, this is great.
Was page 113, and it was based on The Gift. Where you bought Bronco 2, which is just hilarious.
Sammy, my car, was awesome.
Now, when I talk to anyone who's on the cast, I don't think I asked you this last time. I always ask, what was your first car? Dean Butler told me it was a Volkswagen Beetle. Hersha Paradis, also a Volkswagen Beetle, you know. But I think they're about 2 feet apart, so it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always ask, you know, kind of like, what did you drive to the audition, and what did you drive on the last day? That type of thing. Dean Butler upgraded to a BMW. But
right.
the Bronco 2, it just seems like so not like you, which I love. I love the fact that you would choose this big kind of 4x4 truck.
Pretty. Oh my gosh, it was beautiful. It literally was gleaming in the sunlight.
And could you talk a little bit about that particular entry? I feel like I'm jabbering on. Sorry.
Well, so this one is okay. So the quote is, "Don't be upset, you ran into the world's best salesman," by Charles Ingalls. And this was, if you remember, when Carolyn is home and the kind of I'll call him the shady salesman comes by wanting to sell these necklaces.
Right.
He's telling the poor, sad, sob story of his wife who's ill and gonna die or something. And she's totally falling for it. Yeah. So the story is about me and my mom, of course. My dad would have flipped if he would have never bought this car if he had come with us, but he didn't come with us.
Yeah.
So we totally got taken by by this salesman.
Well, and the salesman,
it's kind of,
you went to go start the car, which I love. I restore cars, you know. I work on a lot of very old cars, and one of the number one things is that the car has to start. So you went to start the car and it wouldn't start.
Without much effort anyway, right?
As I'm reading it, I'm thinking to myself, run for the hills.
That's what my dad would have said.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we totally fell for it.
But the car broke down. The car broke down while you were just getting to know Josh. This is before you and him had started a relationship.
Right. We were kind of in the flirting stages.
Right.
Yes.
And here's a note, you know, and you were put in a very awkward situation because the car broke down. You had to abandon Sammy, right?
Yeah.
And you had to sit on his lap, which is like, you know, probably now you talk about it and it's like,
for
yeah, you know,
the,
I was
no,
so happy
terrible.
About it.
I was sweating my brains off. I'm like, it was so uncomfortable.
but you guys must talk about that and just love the fact that you're these awkward kids, you know, essentially.
And yeah, definitely.
It's very sweet. But yeah, so you pulled this like wonderful story out of this, you know, getting swindled by this guy who basically saw you coming. But the car, it does sound cool. A friend of mine had the same car and it was a disaster. It was like the OJ car.
Yes. Well, I know my dad later, he said, if you would have read in Consumer Reports, the reason why Bronco 2s don't do well is because they have the same size engine as a Bronco. No, they have too small of an engine for the size of the car.
Oh, and is so that the problem?
Never did well. So if you looked at Consumer Reports, even like the year that I bought it, if I would have just gone and looked at Consumer Reports, it would say, like, do not buy this car. But we didn't do that. So,
well, you know what?
Right.
I mean, it's an experience.
Out.
You got to own one.
Yes.
You know, now I bet you people still drive them around. I'm sure they're somewhere on the collector's market. So, yeah, I thought that was a very interesting story. And, There just are so many. Like, you can just flip through the book. That's what I keep saying it, but like, I'm flipping through it now and it's just like you flip and you get to one after another. The other quote that I thought was really great was, "I Think You're Only Human" by Carolyn Ingalls, which was the Ebenezer Sprague episode.
Yeah.
And that's where Josh kind of, no, it isn't. I'm like, wait, which? My notes all
count. Yes, this is the one about him. This is about the one about him coaching, and the player misses the goal.
Oh yes, it is. I'm sorry.
His coaching friend says, "It's really hard to be human," or something like that.
Yeah, and it's like you take, you know, you really kind of apply this stuff. So, when you were watching all of these, I know you had to take some episodes, you had to scale it down a little bit, but are there even more episodes that you wanted to write about? Do you foresee, like, kind of, I mean, because there are a lot more episodes, about another 200 or so.
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah, there were tons. So we'll see what happens. I do have thoughts of writing. I have a couple proposals out of writing a girl's devotional, which would be all quotes from the kids mm-hmm. on the show. I also have a mother's one that I'm thinking about, which would all be quotes from, like, Carolyn and Harriet, maybe, you know, Alice Garvey and mm-hmm. Grace Edwards, you know, those. So I have a couple more. There's tons of quotes that could be used, for sure. And it was really hard to decide which ones to use. And really, there was no, there were tons of quotes. It was more, what stories do I have that go with the quotes? Because that was more the challenge, is to brainstorm the stories. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You need to apply it to something. And
yeah.
So are there particular favorites that you wrote that you're like, wow, I'm really proud of this particular writing? Or do you look at this as one entire work? So it's pretty consistent. That's kind of the cool thing, too. It's not like you read on one page one thing and then it's like, oh, wow, she just seems to be rushing through here. There's a pace and it's really a comfortable read.
Well, I will say some of them are funny. Some of them are sad. Some of them are really serious. And some of them are very, like, maybe convicting, I would say. Like, there's one that I really love that is Why So Much? Mm-hmm. And that was when I was in Costa Rica. And it's just seen, like, the contentment of the people there and looking down at my bag full of stuff and just feeling like, man, I'm rich and I wish I wasn't. Like, that, does that make sense? That feeling of, like, oh, geez, yeah, like, why do I want more? And I really love that one. That one is, the quote is, sometimes I wonder if people know when they have enough, by Carolyn Ingalls. And that's the season 3, episode 22 for Gold Country. Mm-hmm. And so that one, I really love that one. I think our culture, our country definitely is really wrapped up in having more and more and more.
Reminded me of this writing in Charlie Chaplin's book. I think it's just called Chaplin. I'm not 100% sure. But he was saying how during the Depression, he'd see these people who were clearly, hungry and hungry and they have kids and they're broke. And they're running up to him and they're asking for autographs. And he's like, I just wish they would have asked me for money. You know, I would have given mm-hmm. it to them. But, you know, it's one of those kind of things where there's humility to, you know, our existences and how I think sometimes as Americans, as an American, we forget how fortunate we really are. Mm-hmm. Just regular people, you know, just regular working class, you know, dopes like me. So, yeah, I think that's interesting. I found an interesting factoid, and I don't know if this is true. Are you really 5'10"?
No, I'm not. But Brenda is.
Oh, okay. How tall are you?
She's about an inch and a half taller than me. So I'm about 5'8" and a half. Yeah. Okay.
But that's pretty tall. I don't think people think. She is 5'10". People don't think of Baby Grace as being pretty tall.
Oh, I tower over all the other cast members.
That's so funny. I know. Yeah. I know. I just turned it from sad to laughing. But what do the other cast members think of the book?
Well,
has Alison Arngrim given her opinion?
Oh, Alison Arngrim is crazy about it.
Yeah,
I can't get her to shut up when we're together. yeah, she has been my biggest supporter, I would say, of the cast. She's just been amazing. Mm. She just is shouting it from the rooftop. So although I'm trying to keep her quiet because we're not supposed to be talking about it, you know, yet. The publishing house just keeps saying, hold off, don't go crazy yet. And so I think by the time this airs, it was a free-for-all to talk about. So she has been really, really supportive. Dean Butler has also been very supportive. He wasn't sure if he would like it. And I said, Dean, I'm just sending you a copy. You just decide once you read it. And he sent me an email and just said, Wendy, this is so good. And he's like, I'm in the airport and I can't stop reading. And I was like, oh, Dean, you're so
yeah,
awesome.
That's
so,
like a total yeah. score. That's really nice.
Yeah. And Karen Grassley, she... I haven't heard from her because I'm not supposed to hear from her yet. You know, we're not supposed to be talking about it.
All right.
But
I'm
she's
asking...
been, I can't wait to get it. I can't wait to get it. So yeah, I have, a lot of the cast members who are very, very supportive. They all have received advanced copies and have given me, just encouragement that they're really enjoying it. So yeah, it's great.
I think that's awesome. And, you know, it just seems like the kind of thing that they would definitely really enjoy. Now, William Anderson or Bill Anderson, I spoke to him briefly and, he really loves the idea of it. And, he had nothing but fond things to say about you and the book. So that's just between you and me now.
Well, yeah, we were in Missouri together and the last day we shared a table because he had a table somewhere else that wasn't in a good spot. And so I said, hey, come sit at my table. So he sat at my table and set up his books and I kind of slipped him over the advanced copy and he just sat there and read it for a while we were sitting there. And I said, okay, I have to take this home with me, but you'll be getting one. And he was like, oh, he was very excited. So.
Yeah, he was just saying how you went a different way than he would have expected someone to do that. And he just really, really enjoyed it. I think when I did speak to him, it was just a few weeks ago. I'm assuming he had the entire book. But
yeah.
But yeah, everything that I hear about it, which is very little, because you guys are really keeping this under wraps for now, which it's kind of cool. You know, it's not that common, actually, in publishing to kind of, you are releasing it all at once. And I think it's unique. So I think that might be really helpful when it comes to the amount of attention that a book like this really deserves.
Well, because it's coming out essentially early in Walnut Grove, it's, you know, a lot of times they say to wait until, you know, 2 weeks before it releases to mm-hmm. really have like your influencers and your team start spreading about it. Mm-hmm. But because it's coming out 3.5 weeks early in Walnut Grove, we're getting an earlier go ahead. So I was told July 6th, a month before the book comes out, to let everyone scream from the rooftops. So that's what I'm trying to hold everybody off until then. So, but it's been very exciting how many people are ready to just share about it and everything.
Now, I know the cover of mine changed slightly, but I'm wondering, is the artwork the same?
Yes, the artwork, this artwork exactly the same. The only difference that you'll see, Mark, is... the inside will have color.
Ooh.
So the titles are like a very, very pretty red, kind of maroon, dark red. And then the kind of lanterns have a little yellow shine to them. So
yeah, I love the lanterns.
So the artwork is by Stephen Noble, and he just did an amazing job on just capturing like what everyone thinks like the little house should look like. I mean, people are going to enjoy this just to look at the cover because it looks like that is a little house book. Like there's no doubt about it.
You know, the artwork is very subtle and it's very, I don't know. It's very, oh, you know what? I just noticed that the cover actually is, the lantern is colored.
And yes, it is.
I didn't notice that the cover had color on it. Mm-hmm. But you know, yeah, I just think it's subtle and very appropriate, and I don't know. It just seems to me very, very. It fits very well into the entire ecosystem of Little House on the Prairie.
Yes, I wanted the illustrations on the inside to kind of look like the illustrations in the old editions of the Little House on the Prairie books. Yeah, like that's very nailed it. Sketch, yeah. Very just kind of yeah. And I simple. Think it's beautiful. I love it. It's so good. And I actually, when they were trying to find the pictures for them, I was actually going through episodes and taking pictures off my computer and sending to them so that he could sketch those. So that was very interesting to be like, okay, we need like whatever they're called. What are those called?
Release forms?
No, like the little images. We just need like a
clip, not
like
clip
an
art,
image that's really simple, and it wasn't supposed to have like their facials, because he can't like draw Michael Landon's face. You know
sure,
what I mean?
Yes.
So like there's the one of Michael Landon is chopping the wood in the Founders Day episode, and it just has him, and obviously you don't see his face. It's kind of like blocked out a little bit, but mm-hmm. it's totally him. If you've watched the show, you're like, oh my gosh, I can totally see that. And that's like a still from the show, you know, from the episode, and they just, he just sketched it off of that. So
yeah, I think it's such a, it's, I don't, it fits right into the entire universe of Little House, and I think it's great. And I know Little House is finding more and more fans right now because it's on Prime. Mm-hmm. So people have it in a way that they've never had it before. They have all 9 seasons where you can just click on it, in I think as close to HD as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I know we can pre-order the books today from Target. There's Barnes & Noble, Amazon. But there's also a pre-order page on your website. Now, on your website, if you could just talk about that for a second, you write a lot. You know, you have a blog that you update very often, where you're just as personal on the blog than you are in the book. And it's wendyluly.com, and I really mm-hmm. recommend people go to it and join your email list, because I don't know, I look forward to these emails and these updates. I think they're really sweet. You get if somebody's a fan of Little House on the Prairie, this really gives you like a genuine insider's view of what it was genuinely like to work with these people on the show.
Yeah, I mean, like the last probably 7 weeks, every week I've been doing a blog post on a different cast member that's coming to the reunion. So I try to like make it very applicable to Little House, but then also, you know, basically like my book, like it's applicable to Little House, but it's also like a glimpse into my life. So I kind of try to balance that both ways. So the last, you know, 7 weeks has been, you know, one was about Charlotte Stewart and one about Radamus Prahn. So every single week is a different focus, and trying to like promote what they're doing and tell people this is what's going on with this cast member. And even though you may not hear from them directly, you're kind of hearing it through me. So, and I try to share just like stories of the interactions that I have with other cast people, because I know that's always a big question from people, like, are you actually friends? Like, do you do stuff together? Like, what are those memories? And like just sharing, like, the first time that I met Radamus was on this plane and we had this amazing conversation, and I just like fell in love with Radamus and they never even knew him from the show. And so like how these relationships start and form and change as you get to know people and the more time you spend with people and stuff. So I go to my website and you can subscribe on there. My website is like under construction. It's still up, but it's like changing slowly.
Okay.
So over the next couple days, it's actually going to be done, but I didn't want to like take it offline. So it's, my web guy is doing some magic for me.
They always do.
So yeah. So it's kind of getting a little facelift. I'm really excited about it. So, but yeah, everything's still on there. You can still see everything. It's just that every hour it may be changing. So.
Now, when who is going to be at the reunion that you haven't really dealt with since the days of Little House? So I spoke to David Friedman, and he said that he was looking forward to meeting you.
Yes, we have not met, and I also have not met Lindsay Kennedy either. So those are the only two that I haven't met.
I just think it's cool. You know, it's like, did you ever think that like, this would actually be kind of happening in the way that it's happening? The reunion, I mean. So it just seems like a real kind of, I mean, you're going to literally Walnut Grove. And seeing all these people who you worked with, it just seems kind of surreal. I wish I could be there. Paul actually gave me a tongue lashing for not being able to make it this year. I'll be camping out with my son for 2 weeks for Boy Scout camp. So
that sounds important also.
not fun, yes. But yeah, important. I'll be living in a tent for 2 weeks. But yeah, I mean, it just seems like a fascinating
thing. It's so fun. I was there 5 years ago for the 40th anniversary. So this will be my second trip to Walnut Grove. It's just a blast. Obviously, there's so much hype and they have the pageants at night and, you know, all the events during the day. But I'll tell you, like, the best thing is just hanging out with the cast and we just have such a good time together. It feels like a family reunion every time we're together. And this time it's so amazing because there's like some new people coming. And so I feel like anytime there's a new cast person that hasn't done an event before, it's like we just open our arms to like another like long lost family member. And so I'm just really excited. I never had ever even met them because by the time David and Lindsay were on the show, we were gone. And so it's going to just be really exciting to have more people in the family.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, yeah. I wish you the best of luck with that. And I'll definitely be following from a distance. but yeah, you can pre-order a prairie devotional. I'll put a link to it in the show notes and I'll just put it everywhere I can. But the exact title is, again, A Prairie Devotional Inspired by the Beloved TV Series. August 6th, it's going to be released, but if you want to get it on August 6th, a lot of these, at least I know with Amazon, if we pre-order books, which we seem to pre-order a lot more books than I realized. My son is like an avid reader. We get the books on the day of release, which is just really cool.
Yeah.
So I do recommend that to everybody, and you know, I just think that it will add to the entire book series and the TV series. And I hope that I wish you nothing but the best of luck with it and safe travels. And also Rodimus, you mentioned him before. I call him Rodimus. You call him Rodimus. Is coming all the way from France, which is pretty cool.
He is. I know. I'm so excited to see him. Not seen him for at least a few years. So yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah. It sounds like it's going to be incredible, but Wendy, I want to thank you again for coming on and speaking with me about your amazing book. And if there's ever a time you want to come on and talk about anything, whether it be Little House books or anything type of anything, you know, please, the door is wide open.